now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the CAGcast Video Game Podcast, episode 153. I am GBD in Tokyo, Japan.
And I am Wombat in the basement.
In the basement, downtown.
Down in my podcasting robe.
Dude, I'm upset already. It's only 9:30 in the morning, and I've already had a very shitty start to my day. In fact, I gotta take my sweatshirt off right now, because I'm sweating already while I tell you about this.
Do tell. I can't wait to hear about your exciting adventures in Tokyo.
In the internets. In the world of the internets, actually. A universal location.
Oh, then I think I know where you're going with this, as I read your Twitter.
Right.
But go ahead.
Last night, before I went to bed, I actually wound up doing a lot of stuff, like between the hours of 10:30 and 1 a.m. I realized that I had never posted that video of me giving that Love Hotel tour. Remember with like that crazy bondage Love Hotel?
I remember you showing me that video, which is strange in itself, the first time that you made it.
I think I had posted it with an episode of the CAGcast, but really never put it anywhere outside of that. And I had put it on my Vimeo account, which is another video hosting service. And I think the reason why I had never put it on YouTube was because I had filmed that in HD, and YouTube didn't have HD yet. And I guess last night I realized that now YouTube has HD, and I might as well. I'm sure there's plenty of people that never saw that video, so I would upload it to my YouTube account. So I did, and I could read from the early comments that people enjoyed the video, thought it was creepy and entertaining, whatever. And it's definitely a sight to behold. You've probably never seen a hotel room like that before, unless you're a real pervert.
In Led Zeppelin.
Right. So I wake up this morning with an email from YouTube telling me that the video was in violation of their community guidelines and that they pulled it, blah, blah, blah. Which is completely ridiculous, because the video is just a tour of a hotel room. There's no cursing in it. There's nothing really outlandish about it, except for the hotel room happens to have some shackles on the wall and the bed is inside a cage. But those things are not, crazy or offensive.
No, I would say it's definitely adult themed.
It's a PG-13 video, material. I would say.
Yeah, it has adult themes, but it's no worse than anything you'd see on, say, 2 and a Half Men.
Right. And I went through the community guidelines, and there was, it's not in violation of any of those things, not by a law. They basically tell you, don't, post shocking things such as, animals being sliced open and things like that. And I also had, maybe like a month or two ago, that video of me and Ty taking a bath together, which is also, there's nothing to it. There's no nudity. There's no cursing or anything like that. That video was pulled for community violations. So I don't know what the hell is going on at YouTube. I know that the Jizz in My Pants video on YouTube has 31 million views, and that seems to be just fine with the community guidelines. But a tour of a hotel room, somehow that's not okay. And I just emailed a YouTube community manager. I went to this networking event last month that was held by Danny Chu, and I met the Japan YouTube community manager, and I got his card, so I just emailed him this morning. So what the hell's going on?
What's up with this?
What's up with that? I'm like, I don't understand. Like, what can I post here? What I think is happening is that there's somebody who doesn't like me, which I know that's really hard to believe, Wombat.
But it wasn't me.
Or maybe several people that don't like me keep reporting my videos. And I don't know what the actual review process is like, but maybe, if you just get a few, reports, your shit gets banned. I don't know. It's very annoying. So that got me all fired up. But luckily, on the way back from dropping off Ty, I found this new bakery. And it's run by, I mean, the guy must be 90 years old. I mean, he can't even stand up straight. Like, he's all hunched over and shit. And the bakery is basically in his house. It's like the first floor of his house. But he's got some really, like, interesting items. Like, a baked potato inside soft bread. Which is awesome.
I was going to say, I'm mixed on that.
No. It's awesome. Because think of, like, the bread. It's not, like, a crusty bread. It's, like, and it's not pastry. But it's somewhere in the middle. So it's, and, you know, I'm sure there's, like, butter in the potato and a little bit of salt. It's really nice. And I also had a pumpkin donut, which was ridiculous.
Now, is it a donut, or is that kind, like, Japanese donuts always have, like, hard sugar on it?
No, it didn't have sugar. It didn't have any sugar on it on the outside, but, you know, the pumpkin, it had like, mashed pumpkin on the inside. It was ridiculous. And I also had a bacon bread, which is pretty much a staple at any Japanese bakery.
Yeah, was it scallion bacon or just bacon?
Nah, it's just bacon. That one is not, I mean, it's good because it's bacon, but it's not, like, that unique, like a pumpkin donut or a potato roll or whatever, like a real potato roll with a real potato inside. I think I would miss, one of the things I'd miss the most about Japan if and when we move out of here are those Japanese bakeries with like all the sausages and stuff. It's just very different than what you find in America.
Well, there are Japanese bakeries in New York.
That's true. I've been to them. They don't hold a candle to the real
deal. I didn't
say
they would. They did. I'm just saying they do.
Yeah,
exist.
They do, and they're good, and they're definitely good.
We went to one once together.
That's right. I forgot the name, but it's by the Bryant Park.
By the library. Yep.
And speaking of food, I had a really good weekend this weekend because you know usually we don't do anything, and this weekend we actually did something. Had my friend Camp and Kev come over. If you're a longtime listener of the CADcast, you'll know Camping Kev from two things. He's the guy that's really into Guitar Hero and Rock Band and, you know, those types of games. And he winds up, like, going to America and buying, like, the band kits and bringing them back on the plane to Japan. He brings, like, you know, hockey bags there so he can carry all this stuff with him back to Japan. So he came over. Him and his wife came over. We played the Guitar Hero World Tour, which I'd never played before, which has some really good songs on there, some songs that I really like, especially When Cried Mary by Jimi Hendrix. You know, played Rock Band, played... we didn't play Rock Band. We played Lips, and we played the movie game, the box office, whatever it's called, Smash?
Seen it. Yes.
But...
Yeah.
After that, we went. I took them out to my favorite steak place, and you've seen if you Google Steak Kuni, KUNI, I think my blog post comes up first. I'm not sure, so you can see like this picture of the steak. But Kevin is like a really big eater, you know, typical like stereotypical white guy living in Japan, like must eat everything in sight. So we ordered like these ridiculous steaks. 300-gram steaks, which, you know, fillets, which I know you think is for women.
That's a woman's steak. If it doesn't have a bone in it, it's a woman's steak.
Ironically, his wife was the only one that didn't order the fillet.
What'd she get?
She got sirloin.
No, see, that's also, it's a woman's steak.
Oh,
it
is.
Didn't
have
a bone.
Well, I think they don't serve steaks that have bones in it.
Then it's a woman's country.
Well, that's definitely not true. But, so here's the crazy thing. Kevin's like, you know, I said, you know, not only does this place have great steaks, but they also are sort of famous for their hamburger steak. And a hamburger steak is basically like a, I guess you call it like a meatloaf served on a sizzling platter, more or less. It's like a hamburger without a bun, but they have really...
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just a chopped steak.
Yeah, but they're very popular. It's called hambagu in Japan. Hambaga is like with the bun. Gu is without the bun. So... After eating the steak, like, he went up to go to the bathroom, and he secretly ordered a 300-gram hamburger steak on his way to the bathroom. It was, I mean, he ate 600 grams of meat that night. It was.
How many pounds is that? You're saying grams like I know what a gram is.
That's a good question.
You're talking, you might as well be speaking in Japanese. He had 600 flabbity flues of meat.
Let me put it this way. If you got hit,
be a lot.
If you got hit in the head with it, it would hurt.
Uh-huh.
But wait, I'm going to tell you right now. Graham. So that's 1.3 pounds.
Oh, of meat.
Of meat. So, okay. half of that being filet mignon, half of that being hamburger steak.
That's not so much.
Yeah, but it's pretty ridiculous.
When you say it in grams, it sounds like a lot.
Right, metric tons. Anyway, it was awesome, and we all had a great time. Also, Wombat, in other exciting news in my life, I bought a Mac Mini over the weekend, which I said I was going to do, and I did it. And the purpose was to have a media center. So what I did is, you know, I had this hooked up to my 42-inch plasma TV via a VGA cable. And let me tell you, it's the best thing ever. They have this software for Macs called, there's one called Boxy and there's one called Plex. They're both basically ports of Xbox Media Connect. If you remember, like back in the day, and probably people still keep these around, you could hack your original Xbox and run like basically this media center software that allows you to stream videos off the internet in like a, you know, in a cool format, an easy to navigate format, and play videos off your computer. So it's basically the same thing but ported to Mac OS. And you can control the whole thing from your iPhone or iPod Touch because they have like all this mouse software. It's the best thing ever, dude. I'm in heaven. I've been watching episodes of The Daily Show streaming from Comedy Central's website. You can, you know, do the South Park thing. It's so good, dude. It's definitely overpriced, the Mac Mini. You're paying for the size of it because it's basically like the size of a GameCube, but not as tall. It's awesome, dude. I'm in love with it.
Okay.
I just want to say
that. I'll take your word for it.
Some people had posted in the CAG thread saying that, you know, it's not worth it, it's overpriced, and it is. It's definitely overpriced. What you're getting is style and size and quietness, because, you know, for the same amount of money, you could buy a PC desktop that would be more powerful. But for a media center, and as long as you're using a VGA connection, it's pretty awesome, because it doesn't have HDMI out. But it's awesome.
I bought groceries over the weekend.
You mean sustenance?
Yes, things that we need to eat.
Right.
You know, lunches, dinners.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
That was what I bought.
Oh, but
although
wait.
I did have friends over on Saturday night.
Wait, I'm not done. I'm not done yet, Wombat.
Tell me more.
This involves you, Wombat. Because I did my homework.
What'd you do?
I watched the new Indiana Jones movie.
Awesome. This is going to be spoilerific for anyone who hasn't seen the film. Okay, what did you think?
You know, I was expecting it to be the worst thing I've ever seen after all the talk about it. And while it's certainly not a good movie by any stretch of the imagination, and
okay,
certainly there are scenes in the movie that will make you, you know, facepalm yourself. You know, for a movie that like you would watch, that would be on, you know, cable, and that they're going to show over and over again, it's okay. I mean, you know, certainly your intelligence will be insulted throughout the film. But I don't think it was as insulting as the last three Star Wars movies.
It may not be as insulting as the last three Star Wars movies, but it's definitely within the same genre of childhood destruction.
Well, they're written by the same guy, George Lucas.
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't write any of them.
He did. He wrote Indy.
Did he write Indy?
He co-wrote it.
Oh, that's awful. I didn't think he did. You know what I thought was the worst part of that movie?
Go for it.
When they were swinging on the vines with the monkeys.
not they. Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf, whose appeal I don't understand.
Yeah.
And
he wasn't even that bad in it. Like, I expect, because I, you know, from Transformers, like, I hated that movie so much. I hated Transformers more than I hated this. Maybe because I had more invested in Transformers, I felt.
The problem with his casting in the film And if they really wanted to do it right, because let's face it, Harrison Ford's no spring chicken.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that there's no life in the Indiana Jones franchise.
That wasn't the problem with the movie, is that he was old. That really had nothing to do with it.
No, that didn't have anything to do. It's that, you know, the Shia LaBeouf character, the Mutt Williams character, should have been someone who could theoretically carry an Indiana Jones movie on his own.
Well, that was the only good part of the movie, I thought, was at the end of the movie. They, whatever. This is spoilerific, but who cares? The movie ain't that good. Indy and Marion get married, and Shia LaBeouf is at the wedding, and the doors blow open from a strong burst of wind, and Indy's hat comes flying in. It lands at Shia LaBeouf's feet. And I'm thinking, oh, God, if he puts the hat on and picks it up, I'm going to jump out the window. Because if they make an Indiana Jones movie and he's Indiana Jones, then, you know, I'm going to bomb the theater that it premieres at. But what happens is he's about to pick it up and, you know, Indy takes it from him and walks out the door.
Yeah.
That was the only good part of the movie.
Exactly, because even the people making the movie know that he just wasn't right to play Indiana Jones' son. He just doesn't pass it off. I don't know.
He was okay.
It had some of the worst CGI I've ever seen in my entire life.
I don't know. The story was silly. The dialogue was silly. And, like, they have these scenes in the movie that don't need to be there. Like, at one point, and very early in the movie, Indy's escaping from some Russians, and he winds up on, like, at ground zero on a nuclear bomb testing site, like in one of those fake neighborhoods that they create so they can test the effects of a nuclear explosion. And the thing starts counting down, and Indy's got to figure out what he's gonna do, because he's got no car, he can't get out of the testing zone. So he pulls all the stuff out of a refrigerator and gets into a refrigerator and closes the door to protect him from the nuclear blast. Of course, like, you know, it goes without saying that being inside a refrigerator will probably not protect you from a nuclear blast, even if it is lead-lined, like it said.
It was a lead-lined, those famous lead-lined refrigerators.
Right, of course. But the thing is, the refrigerator, because a nuclear bomb basically falls on it, the refrigerator flies like a mile. You know, it flies through the air with Indy in it. And bounces like crazy, and Indy just opens the door and gets out. Like the fall wouldn't turn him into, you know, coleslaw.
It was the whole movie was just awfulness.
Right.
I don't know. It's like, and I really wanted to like it. Like, people kept telling me how bad it was, and I went in going, "Oh, it's Indiana Jones. It'll be fun. I love Indiana Jones."
Right.
And it just didn't.
It's not good. And it's the aliens. There's aliens in it or not.
Oh, the aliens. Oh, talk about something that doesn't belong in Indiana Jones.
Right, Nazis. All we need is Nazis.
Nazis, that's who he fights. He fights Nazis, not
Russians,
aliens.
Not aliens. Nazis. Anyway, Wombat. See, I did my homework. Next up is I got to find Silverado somewhere. But
yeah, you do. And you need to finish watching WALL-E, or did you?
No, I haven't. I haven't yet. See, I watched that by myself, Indy. Like, the wife went out for a haircut or something, and I watched it myself.
Yeah. Sounds like fun.
I'm tired, Wombat. What time is it?
It's 8:41 p.m.
Okay. Should we, anything you need to mention, or should we roll into to last
show? We can roll right into the show. I have no life.
Okay, good. Anyway, a lot of this feedback has to do with you, Wombat, because people really enjoyed last week's show. They enjoyed your performance. And your alter ego, Jewbeard.
Jewbeard be here tonight.
Okay, well, Jewbeard, Ianoid says, you guys are on a roll. The podcasts of late are particularly enjoyable. Cheapy versus Wombat happens to be a great dynamic. Not that it's news to any of us fans. Since Wombat has gotten his new microphone, he's been more professional as a broadcaster, which is something that I've always wanted in this show. Wombat's opinions are mostly spot on and always entertaining, and I am happy to see him laying off the me stuff a little bit. Maybe it's the microphone, maybe it's having a family and a youngin, where there is no space for me, or maybe it's the gay job. Is it the gay job, Wombat?
The gay job. Hey, we're keeping our fingers crossed with the gay job. That's all.
The gay job is still going to be there in a month, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am too, Wombat. Yes. He says, I would also like to mention that I have not been able to stomach another video game podcast for more than 5 minutes. They all suck. I wish there was just one Shaq Fu Wing gaming podcast that had the production values and momentum of the CADcast. The podcast got me into the CAG site and reminds me to support the site. Keep it going. Wombat, so maybe your theory is right that we do get some visitors to the site through the CAGcast.
I think we get a handful of visitors to the site through the CAGcast.
In fact, this guy says that he buys a lot of stuff through CAG, and he says that he thinks he's probably a top 200 CAG affiliate buyer, and he wants to know if I can tell who's buying. No, there's that would certainly be a privacy issue. I cannot. I can only tell what is being bought from most of the retailers. I can't tell who is buying them or if it's like the same. I don't think I could tell if it's the same anonymous person buying, which reminds
me. There be no way to tell.
No. I did mean to post a list of the top sold items from Amazon from 2008. Maybe I'll do that this week.
Yeah.
Also, with you, Wombat, kill them all, 4444. Or maybe it's kill them all.
That's what I like to
read. But that's a Metallica album, isn't it? Kill them all?
Yes, kill them all.
He says, Wombat's brilliant dramatic reading of Suttner's Braid Review nearly made me collapse in a spasm of uncontrollable laughter, which would have been bad as I was at work. I think Wombat should now find pretentious reviews to do this on a weekly basis. Well, he used to do developer theater.
Yeah, game developer theater.
Yeah, so maybe.
And
Dave Station agrees. He says, that was one of the best rebuttals I've heard all year. I also enjoyed the little jab he made about Nick Suttner's present employer later in the show. Sounds like Wombat has been getting some. He is way more uplifted in the past few weeks. Well, two questions, Wombat. One, have you been getting some?
I get a few things.
Some things are thrown your way once in a while.
Yes.
Some crumbs.
Yes, yes. I'm not complaining.
Okay. And two, what was the jab that you made about Sony later in the show? I mean, I'm sure
it was later
many.
In the show. It was just an offhanded comment. You just need to listen.
Well, tell me. What was it?
I honestly couldn't tell you the context.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm no good to anybody.
The King Rocker, formerly a resident of Japan, and hung out with me a couple times here. He says, I found it very funny that Nick Suttner replied to Wombat's call of pretentious by calling him Philistine. Yeah, I had to look that up in the dictionary even. I mean, come on. And then he goes on to say, I'm totally with you guys on these stupid deals on the marketplace, on the Xbox marketplace. Entirely unnecessary, mostly uninteresting DLC being discounted by a few bucks. It's an insult. Braid's price drop was nice, but not enough for me to bite. The thing was overpriced to begin with. I'll disagree with you on the Braid price drop. I do think it was not overpriced. It may seem that way if you don't actually play through the game. You know, it's one of those games that it's greater than just the sum of its parts. It's greater than just what you see from the screenshots or the demo.
If you're a weak-minded fool, then you agree with GB.
Well, that's what I'm counting on, Wombat. Otherwise, I got nothing.
I do not think the game is worth $15.
Okay, but then it was $10. So
I don't think it's worth $10.
All right. Well, we were going to disagree on that.
I just picked up, you know, no, I'm going to use the dollars and cents argument. I just picked up The Force Unleashed.
Okay.
Star Wars FU for $10.
How'd you do that?
Through the GameFly sale.
Oh, right. Of course. That
it was on
sale.
Sale at GameFly for $15. I had a $5 off coupon.
Right.
I bit on Star Wars with free shipping. It showed up in the mail yesterday. It's a pristine copy in a box that still has the damn sticker on it.
Right.
And I got that for $10.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm going to spend my $10 and I have a choice between Braid, which was on sale for $10 at the same time that Star Wars was on sale for $10.
I agree with you. That's a better deal.
The point is that there's better games to spend your $10 on than Braid.
But you happen to get an exceptional deal. And those come along. I mean, this is cheap-ass gamer. We know
that. And now
those
Braid's back up
along.
To $15, and it's just not worth it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's your opinion. I think it was worth it. I enjoyed the puzzles. I thought I had a emotional response to the game, and if I have that, I think it's worth it.
I say buy Peggle.
Okay. Should I read the rest of these stuff from King Rocker? That's good enough from the King Rocker. Also, last week we talked about Xbox Live lesbian who was banned because she wrote she was a lesbian in her gamer profile. Menic Matt points out, putting straight in your profile can possibly get you suspended. It was mentioned on Major Nelson's podcast that it is a suspendable offense, as it's also a sexual orientation. Yeah, we actually mentioned that in our discussion of the event. What our question was, if you write, I like men, is that a suspendable offense? Because you don't know if I'm a man or a woman. Unless I list it. If I write in my profile, I am a man and I like men, okay, you know I'm a homosexual. But if I just write,
well,
I like men.
Not necessarily. What if you mean that in like a friendship way?
Or that.
I am a lover of men.
What if
I write,
I have
mankind.
I have sex with men.
That's different.
But you don't know if I'm a man or a woman.
Well, in the age of the avatar, maybe.
Well, if I don't know. Also, we talked a lot last week and the week before about, as Wombat dubs it, Xbox Vista, formerly known as the new Xbox Experience, which is now the old Xbox Experience, and the lag that it generates, the slowdown when you pull up the grade, go through your friends list. It's interesting to read the comments on CAG about this, because there's a lot of people that have this problem. There's a lot of people that don't have this problem. There's a lot of theories about what causes the problem. There, you know, some saying if you have a 120 gig hard drive, but you have less than 30 gigs available, it causes the problem. Some say if you have the Jasper chip, you don't get the, you know, with the onboard memory, you don't get it. But it seems like everything's been able to be disproved one way or another. And I saw the video, and I think it was CJ that posted this video, right? Wasn't it CJ from Player One
CJ.
Podcast?
Yep.
He made a video, a YouTube video, of his Xbox Vista lag. And his was, I'd say, three times as bad as mine has ever been. I mean,
yeah,
it was awful.
His was awful.
And that's like almost makes the machine unusable. Mine was a big inconvenience. His is just, you know, it's clearly broke. Something's broken there. And like I said last week, since we started talking about this, and maybe it's just because I'm not using my Xbox as much because of I've been playing Killzone, I think it's gotten better for me.
It has. What did I play over the weekend? I played the Sega Genesis Sonic's Mega Genesis Collection.
Uh-huh.
Ujibu. And yeah, I haven't had any problems. I also played a few things, so we'll talk about those later.
But you think it got a little faster or no?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, isn't that weird? I think maybe, I don't know, maybe people are listening. And yeah, because Saunders Scowie says, it's weird how you mentioned on the show about the Xbox Vista getting quicker, because mine has definitely been faster. All right, Wombat, we're making shit happen here.
We rule the universe. You didn't know that?
Yeah. Well, I do. Yeah. I'm an internet space pimp, so I, you know, me and my space bitches, we got the shit on lockdown.
That's what I like to hear.
All right. One final note. Desicron writes in from the United Kingdom and says, I was listening to this show. I'm a longtime direct through iTunes listener and finally decided to check out the actual CAG site. Didn't realize it came in.
Oh, another person. Look at that.
Didn't realize it came.
Two people.
Okay. All right. You Wombat's angling for another check, I think.
Yeah.
He says, I didn't realize it came in UK form also. My God, the money I could have been saving. Oh, well, at least I'm wise to it now. Yes, of course, we have Cheap Arse Gamer for anyone coming from the UK. You can either go to Cheap Ass Gamer or Cheap Arse Gamer, and we will automatically detect if you are coming from the UK or the US and serve up the appropriate gaming deal content. Well, Wombat, it's time for some CAG news-ish. And there is some big news, Wombat.
I see that. I looked this afternoon. I'm looking at it again now. I'm thoroughly impressed that it is only the middle of the third month of the year.
Last year, it was at the end of March that I posted the GB Award results. So I am a
and
couple
the year
weeks
before
quicker.
That. It was from the year before that.
Well, I'm a few weeks quicker than last year. That's the important thing. Of course, we gave away two $500 Amazon gift certificates. Lurk No More and McWeen were the winners. Congratulations to you guys. Wombat, sorry.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's something wrong there. I know you pulled me first, and you said, can't give it to that bastard.
I would definitely, if I pulled you, I would give it to you. I don't, you know, what do I care?
And you know what? I'd accept it.
I know you would.
Yeah, I'm a greedy little bastard.
You're a Jewbeard.
I am.
Jubeard the Pirate is not picky about where he gets his plunder from.
Arr, I'll take me booty from the Amazon.
From the depths of the Amazon.
From the depths of the Amazon. With Amazon Prime, I could get my shipping for free. Arr.
So, of course, once again, Amazon was the big winner. Speaking of Amazon, picked up Best Online Retailer, Best Online Customer Service, and Best Online Deal for their Black Friday incredible weekend, and I guess like the couple weeks that followed Black Friday. It was just, you know, basically nonstop deals till the end of the year. So they're great, and they even posted, they wrote up an acceptance speech, and that's posted on the website. If you go to the front page of CAG, you'll see it there. Best Buy won Best Brick and Mortar Retailer. Again, that was their third year in a row. You know, Amazon won those awards for the third year in a row. It's definitely like these guys are getting entrenched. There's no one new coming along to dethrone previous winners. GooseX again won Best game trading website, and they got 83% of the vote, so like it wasn't even close. And they recorded a little acceptance video, which was cute.
I enjoyed it. I watched it. Good job. Good on you, GooseX. Good on you.
Other interesting categories. Best game value went to Burnout Paradise, and they just edged out Fallout 3. It was like 22% of the vote to 20% of the vote.
I'm trying to think which one of those games I think has a better value. I guess I've personally played more Fallout 3, so I guess I would lean towards that.
It's interesting because reading the comments for the GP Awards results, it seems like people almost regret voting for Burnout Paradise because there's been a lot of pay downloadable content that came out lately. But you're talking about a year after the game came out. And I think it's amazing. I mean, how many games are coming out with any type of content a year after they come out? And now you can buy the game new for $20. So I think it's still very much a fair winner of the Best Game Value Award. And in fact, that's the second EA published game to win that award, in 2 years, since we've been doing that particular award.
Who won it? What was the other game?
It was Half-Life, Orange Box.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah, and I emailed Criterion to tell them about their victory, and they said Burnout Paradise is a recession-busting game and the perfect antidote to the credit crunch.
That was a very nice quote from them.
Yeah. Could have been better, actually. Wasn't that clever.
They didn't say thank you, CPD, in the CAG community?
They sort of did in the email, but it wasn't like part of the quote. So I just, I sort of included it in my post there.
Okay. Well, that's still very nice that they got back to you.
Yeah, of course. Best Buy didn't get back to me.
They suck.
Right. And I didn't bother telling GameStop that they won for the third year in a row, worst online and brick and mortar game retailer. I figured I wouldn't let them know.
Nah,
I'm sure they'll find out. But so I don't know. I think they're supposedly on their website they're going to be telling you if the used games come with box in the manual. I think that's going to help a lot. I think that should kick up sales, at least through for CAGs. I think they don't buy the used games online specifically because of that reason. So hopefully that will help. Maybe next year they can break this vicious cycle, Wombat. And of course, Speedy 1961 picked up both CAG Community Award, the CAG Community Award and the Deal Buster Award. And in honor of Speedy 1961, who lost his job this year, and, for all of his work he's done over the years posting the Sunday ads at our site, we will be changing the name of the CAG Deal Buster Award to the Speedy 1961 Deal Buster Award.
He should get an Amazon card, too.
He should, actually, I guess. He responded, too.
Why not?
Anyway, so that's a brief rundown of the Cheapy Awards. Always fun to put that together. And, I don't know, exciting for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We have a contest this week.
We do?
Yes, and we can thank Ron Workman and Bungie for providing a free code for the Halo 3 Mythic Map Pack.
Why, I'll be damned.
I'll be damned. So all you got to do is just post in the CAGcast discussion thread. You have to post a legitimate comment. I don't want to see, I want to win the Halo 3 map pack code or entered or anything like that, a legitimate comment about the show. Otherwise, I'm throwing out your entry.
Yeah, the entries are based on quality and random number draw.
Right, exactly.
It's our contest. We can pick a winner however we want.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I just like your name, I may pick you, as long as you don't post some bullshit comment.
Exactly. So it's got to be a combination of we have to like you, and it has to be a real comment.
Also, Wombat, well, actually, you have to talk about this because I couldn't even get into it. There was another CAGcast game night on
Sunday. Yeah, it was a wild success of Killzone 2. We had a really good time, and I didn't come in last place every round. In fact, one round, I made it all the way up to fourth.
Wow. I couldn't even get in because it was full.
It was because too many people wanted to play Killzone with me.
Right. I mean, it's sort of weird to have a CAGcast game night and not have...
Me.
I mean, I'm trying to do my me. How can you have a CAGcast game night and I'm not in there?
I know. No, it was a really good time. I think it just filled up because the CAG community is really so into this game, and there's a lot of support for it in the PS3 thread section of your website, that it really wouldn't have mattered if my name, your name, or the Pope's name was on it. That room was going to fill up.
Yeah, it was an excuse for everybody to get together. What else are you going to play on the PS3 anyway?
Exactly. But it was a really good time, and I hope to do it again soon, although I don't know if we're going to do how we're going to do it this weekend. I don't know if you want to plan it, since maybe it's better if you arrange it, so maybe you'll show up in time.
No. The problem is that there was daylight savings time, so your 8 p.m. became not my 9 a.m. instead of 10 a.m., and I just can't get home from dropping Ty off that quickly. And then the room will be filled by the time I get on. So if you make it 9 p.m., it should be good to go.
Well, we'll figure it out, and we'll post something, I guess.
Okay, it'll be in the check out the CAGcast forum for details,
yeah,
but it will be Sunday
out
night.
What game it'll be, so there goes that.
I also want to mention, I got a lot of stuff to talk about this week before we even get into the meat of the show, but hopefully this is interesting to some people. We are a part of this new gaming radio network that appears on your iPhone, or they have a website too. It's called Furious Gamer. And what's interesting about this, it's not just a collection of podcasts, but the cool thing about this is... And you can do this either at FuriousGamer.com, or you can download the iPhone app, which is, I think, it's 99 cents. What you can do is you can look up a game, a specific game, like Killzone 2. And you click on the Killzone 2, and it'll give you a list of all the podcasts in their network. And then when you click on the name of the podcast, it'll take you right to that point in the show where they talk about that specific game. Which is sort of a cool concept. So if you just want to...
That is cool.
See what everybody, all these different shows have to say about Resident Evil 5 or Killzone 2, you just click right on there and it's basically instantaneous. And we're on there with Major Nelson and Gamertag Radio and the iPhone's Game Network and a bunch of 360 Nation, Uncle Gamer, blah, 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 blah. So I checked out I actually paid for the iPhone app. It's 99 cents. Who cares?
Why not? You're on it. If I was on it and I had an iPhone, I'd buy it.
You would email the guy to try to get a free code.
I would probably, but that's neither here nor there.
It's 99 cents, Jude.
I also have less money in my checking account than you gave away in Amazon gift cards. So
is that true?
Yes, that is really true.
I'm sorry. Jesus.
I had to buy groceries.
I'm sorry, dude. I won't tell you how much that steak dinner cost then.
The same amount as an Amazon gift card.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, so you should check that out. And also, apparently there's some Android or Google phone app or something called Dog Catcher, and that the CAGcast is listed on Dog Catcher. Sean NOLA. Wrote in about that, so check it out. Two more things. Wombat, wow, it just keeps going and going. Rogue Weapon posted in our thread, basically pointing out that I think is what he was saying is that he sort of had the scoop on the that Game Razor that we were talking, making fun of last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he posted it on his CAG blog, and I think he was saying that he was one of the first people to post about it on the internet. If you do post something on your blog or in the forums that you think is, you know, a scoop of some sort, or would be, you know, front page worthy, or anything like that, you shouldn't assume that I'm going to see it. You know, the site is really big. So email me at gbd@gbazgamer.com, and I'll check it out. I certainly will not be mad at you for contacting me. And speaking of email, I just was got off the instant message with Super Programmer John, who tells me that the email alerts for our CAG price tracker should be up by the time you listen to this show. So basically what you'll be able to do is go to one of our game database pages, and there'll be a slider on the page, and you can set your notification price. So if you want, if you're only interested in Gears of War 2 and it hits $40, you set the slider for $40, and it'll send you an email when a retailer offers it at that price, which is a pretty cool feature, I think.
Yeah, or if you're looking to get, you know, Star Wars FU for $15.
Exactly. So that should be great, and of course you can manage all your alerts and stuff from a separate page. Should be cool. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Wombat, let's get into the new releases, because there are some big ones this week.
I'm going to click the one that says, Wombat, use this.
Right. Well, actually, I don't know. Actually, you know, the CAG foreplay is up, so you can just use from that one.
I know. I listened to that today. I'm sure you did, too.
No.
Really?
I just don't. I can't listen to podcasts. I'm sorry. I'll talk about that later, actually. I think somebody wrote in about that. Okay, so the big release this week, of course, is Resident Evil 5. And I almost bought it yesterday. I went to my local game store. I said, you know, it's been out for... It came out last week in Japan. So I figured maybe I could buy it, find a used copy, maybe a little cheaper. Because it's like $75 here.
Ew,
right. Because in Japan, the different franchises cost different amounts. So, like, when Killzone 2 comes out here, it'll probably be $60. But when Resident Evil comes out, or, like, a Final Fantasy game comes out, it's $75, $80. So I just couldn't do it, because, like, I'm not that excited by Resident Evil. And to lay out that kind of bread, you know, I am an internet space pimp, but I don't know.
It doesn't say Apple on it, so you weren't about to spend too much money on it.
Ho, 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 ho. That's so
funny. That was a good job of the hut laugh.
Yeah, Killzone 2 is on Amazon Japan for pre-order for $52.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I couldn't do it. I don't know. You're a big Resident Evil fan, so, I mean,
I don't think I'm going to shell out the money for this right away. I have a backlog like nobody's business upstairs.
Right.
And I don't have the cash, honestly, to spend on this. I mean, yeah, the Toys R Us deal is kind of tempting also.
You know, like $20 gift card.
$20 gift card, and I could use that on baby stuff. So, but even still, it's like, but I'm not going to play the game probably for another 2 months. Right. But then there could be a drop, which is really what it comes down to. I haven't finished the story on Killzone 2. I haven't unlocked all the unlockable games on the Sega Genesis collection. I have a lot of games to play. I have Resistance 2 still in the plastic.
Right. I mean, well, the reviews have been pretty good. It looks like, 87 on Metacritic. Well, whatever. That's a good review. It doesn't matter what the number is.
It's decent. I don't think people are loving. I mean, you got to remember when, you know, Resident Evil 4 came out, it was high nines.
Right. Well, going through these reviews pretty quickly, it seems like they've replaced a lot of the suspense horror and the creepiness with action, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but you might be disappointed if that was what drew you to the game.
Yeah, even Resident Evil 4, even though, yes, it was a departure and definitely more action-y than any other Resident Evil before it still had a lot of quieter moments also. I mean, a lot of the times, because of the controls and because of the constraints, killing five guys felt like you were killing 30 guys. And I think that was a strength of Resident Evil 4. And to take that away in Resident Evil 5, which is what it seems like, I don't know, I haven't played the final game yet. I did play the demo, and the demo, it felt overcrowded in that action scene. It was too tight a spot and too many enemies for that type of control scheme, and I just didn't. It didn't work for me, which is why I don't think I'm going to pick it up. It does work if it's, you know, there's that very opening scene of Resident Evil 4 when you go into that first house, and you only kill three non-zombies in that house, but because of the constriction and because it's something that you've never really experienced before, it feels like you're doing a lot more than you really are. And I think they lose that when they just throw zombie after zombie after zombie at you.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'll pick it up at some point when I see it cheap.
Yeah. But, oh, I will too. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Also, I thought it was interesting. I saw this on Joystick that it looks like there's going to be some online multiplayer modes coming, and I think we mentioned that was a rumor a couple of shows ago. I'm not sure. I mean, somebody told me about that. I wasn't sure if I actually mentioned it on the air or not, on the fake air. But basically, a trophy update has revealed these new online modes called Slayer, Survivors, Team Survivors, and Versus. And so I guess this is going to be downloadable content for the game. Now, the million-dollar question, Wombat, is, are we going to have to pay for these online modes, or is it going to be a free update?
I'm going to say pay.
I mean,
not only am I going to say pay, I'm going to say pay, and it's already on the disc.
Whoa.
That's my theory. That's
you think
pure
so?
Speculation. Yeah. Yes, I'm basing it off of off of Street Fighter. Both Capcom.
Well, we'll see.
Games.
No reason to get all worked up about something that we don't know.
No, we have no idea. That, and I like to, you know,
stir
cause
the pot.
Controversy when there is none. It's kind of my shtick.
Right. That and Jewbeard.
Yes.
All right, so let's see what else is coming out this week. So we got Resident Evil 5. That's the big one, PS3 and 360. Anything else? Trivial Pursuit, I know everyone's interested in that.
Mad World
has been getting very good reviews for the Wii.
Mad good.
I mean, I was even thinking about maybe plugging in my Wii and buying this game. But
like,
I don't know.
Maybe you should. You should play it.
I have a feeling.
I finished a Wii game over the weekend. But we haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh, hello there, Wombat.
Yeah, look at that. My Wii's been dusted.
Well, it's been getting great reviews. It's got basically like the same scores as Resident Evil 5. I don't know. It's caught my interest. But I have a feeling. I got a feeling, Wombat. And of course, you know, this is not an educated guess. Well, it's
no,
a hypothesis.
No, it's an educated guess.
It's a hypothesis. My hypothesis is that if you used a real controller with the game, it would probably be better. Instead of, like, you know, a Wiimote and a thingamabob. Nunchuck. You know, that's my theory, is that this game would probably be better on PS3 or Xbox 360 with a real controller.
How about as, like, an Xbox Live Arcade game?
It probably could be.
Yay, let's be mean to the Wii.
We're being mean to the Wii.
Let's see.
Speaking of the Wii, all these new Play Control games, like the rehash, Mario Power Tennis, and Pikmin.
Which I already have both of.
Wasn't Metroid coming out or not this week?
Probably not this week.
Oh, it's out.
I think it's
out in Japan already. But those are all out. Those are $30. And
aren't they supposed to be doing Pikmin 2 also?
Maybe.
I like Pikmin 2 better than Pikmin 1, personally.
Okay.
You know, just saying. I like them Pikmin games.
Anything else? Anything else?
Crazy Chicken Star Cards.
Who?
I'm just looking at the DS games.
Oh. Is that really the name of a DS game?
Yes, Crazy Chicken Star Cards.
That's an interesting name.
Yeah.
Let me see. I have to scroll down to the DLC. What kind of...
We got Peggle.
Peggle, I tried the demo. I've never played Peggle before.
That's so funny because neither had I, and I thought I was the only person on the planet who had never played Peggle. And it wasn't.
No.
It was both of us, which really shows how unqualified we are to have anyone listen to our podcast.
Well, that's a casual game for, 50-year-old women.
And we only sleep with them.
Right. I got to say, I enjoyed Peggle from my experience. I think I finished everything that you could do in the trial. I didn't click down and pay my $10 to buy it, But I don't know. It's basically like pachinko.
But you can aim.
Where you can aim.
Yeah.
I like how Shipwreck, in his preview, says that it has the music from Die Hard. You know, actually, Shipwreck, that's the music from Beethoven. not, you know, Beethoven did it first. I think he knows that. He's just being silly. Yeah. But it has online multiplayer.
Is it Beethoven or is it Mozart?
It's Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Is it? Okay, I wasn't sure. I wasn't.
The Ode to Joy.
Oh, yes, it is. It's Ode to Joy. Thank you. Yes.
I don't know. Stupid. I might eventually cave in and buy that if I am weak sometime, but I don't know.
Did you try out the Squeenix game too?
Crystal Defenders? No. Yes. That I didn't even realize there were two releases until I
There are two. I downloaded it and it finished downloading. I didn't have a chance to play both. But
okay.
I like tower defense games and I like Final Fantasy-esque characters. I'll give that demo a
tower
shot.
Defense game?
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, EA made a version of their NCAA basketball game?
Yes, it's NCAA Basketball March Madness. And it's what, $20? 20 bones?
It's $15.
15 bones. And that's it's
just the tournament.
It's gonna have all the teams that are in March Madness. Which means Pitt will be on there, so really it's enough of me.
That's kind of a cool idea. So would you buy that for $15?
I'm not that big a fan of basketball games, so probably not.
Interesting idea, though. I mean, EA, you got to admit that EA is sort of leading the way in experimenting with downloadable distribution, at least, I mean, on consoles.
You know, they released Burnout, the full thing. It sounds like it could be a pretty good deal, yeah. So, I don't know.
Pretty interesting. Anything else for new releases? I mean, there's some WiiWare stuff, Alex Kidd and the Lost Stars and Gradius. Okay, so let's move on, Wombat, shall we?
Yes. Gradius is probably pretty good, but Alex Kidd is ass.
Is Alex ass?
Alex Kidd. If you see Alex Kidd on anything, just stay away. Run in the opposite direction. Rochambeau, no thank you.
Right.
Say no thank you.
Also, let's do some Best of the Sunday ad deals, Wombat. The big one this week is over at Toys R Us. They've got Resident Evil 5 deals. So you get a $20 gift card with either the PS3 or 360 version at Toys R Us. And if you buy, or if you buy an Xbox 360 Pro console and Resident Evil 5, they'll give you a $50 gift card and a year of Xbox Live. So that's not a bad deal right there.
I guess not.
Okay. And I think that's probably it for the Best of the Sunday ad deals. Also, I want to give a big shout out to Shipwreck and the article that he wrote about Amazon and Toys R Us competing with GameStop in the used game business. The
article has a very good title.
Well, I came up with the title. I take credit for the title.
I know, because you spent like 45 minutes trying to come up with the title.
Well, Shipwreck spent a lot of time working on the article, and he told me, all right, you come up with the title. You know, he's busy. It's amazing that he could even find time to write an article, especially a long one like that. So I figured I would spend some time working on the title, and I came up with Amazon and Toys R Us Can't Beat GameStop at Its Own Used Game. Meanwhile, it got picked up by Joystick, who I certainly appreciate and I'm sure Shipwreck appreciates the recognition, but I don't think they read the article or understood the point of the article, because they wrote it up like it was a comparison of the three services. It's really not. It's an article about why these two, Amazon and Toys R Us, won't be able to compete with GameStop in the used game market. It's not about like who's better. It's just the way, you know, it's just it's more of a business perspective than a consumer's perspective. And also, I'm very pleased to announce that Penny Arcade linked to the article today.
Did they really?
Yes. So that's,
I did not know that.
That's great. It's always difficult to get a link from Penny Arcade, and you always get a lot more traffic from a link from Penny Arcade than if you're linked to on a blog. And it's not just because Penny Arcade's more popular, or, you know, whatever site is more popular, I don't know. But, you know, Penny Arcade just gives you, you know, says, oh, you should check out this article. And they just link to it. But when it's on a blog, they basically take all the interesting stuff out of the article, so there's no reason to read the article. So people usually don't bother clicking through.
Yeah, look at that. Cheap Ass Gamer has a comprehensive breakdown of GameStop, Toys R Us, and Amazon's trade-in mechanisms.
Yeah, and it's really, like I said before, it's really more about the business side of it and why, what hurdles Amazon and Toys R Us have to overcome to affect GameStop's business. In fact, I bought some GameStop stock on Monday after, you know, the games, when the news came out about Amazon and Toys R Us entering this business, the GameStop stock fell 14%, and I figured I would buy some stock, and my wife yelled at me.
As she should.
She said, don't do that again. And now Orko60 is yelling at me. He says, GBD, why are you buying individual stocks? He was referring to my purchase of Target, which was, I don't know what the hell I was thinking there. That kind of trading is only going to lose you money in the long run. Stick with mutual funds, my man. You don't do enough research on a daily basis to do well with picking stocks individually. To try to treat the market as financial suicide for regular guys like us. Yes, I think that you're probably right. And I will stick with, I'm in a holding pattern right now, Wombat.
Well, do you know how much Warren Buffett's lost in the last 12 months?
He has, but he's got a lot more to lose than...
He lost $26 billion in the last 12 months.
Well, how much does he have left, though?
He has left $37 billion.
Right. That's a lot. I mean, how much do you need, really?
Yeah, but that's still... It's 45% of his money in a year.
Yep.
It's got to hurt. I mean, I'm sure it doesn't affect, like... do I want the gold-plated toilet for Monday or the gold-plated toilet for Tuesday?
You're saying he has 7 gold-plated toilets in his bathroom?
Yes, one for each day of the week. And I think after he uses one, he doesn't flush it. He just throws it out the window.
Ah, interesting. Anyway, so I won't be buying any more stocks, but I do find myself checking the performance of GameStop stock every day. It's sort of interesting, I guess, to be on that side of the fence. And now I could go to a shareholders meeting if I wanted to. If I ever want to go to Texas. I don't want to go to Texas.
I didn't think so.
All right, Wombat, let's roll right into Microsoft. There are a ton of new demos out.
And by a ton, you mean 4.
I mean 4, and I would imagine that some of these are also on PS3.
Now, were you weighing that in grams?
I don't know. I said ton. How is a ton grams?
Metric ton.
That's grams?
It is now.
So I don't know if these could be on PS3 Network as well. I don't know. But I played all these demos, and I was pretty unimpressed with all of them. Probably disappointed most by the Riddick demo, Dark Athena, because I was a big fan of the Xbox version. I forgot what it was called. Chronicles
Escape
of Riddick.
Escape from Butcher Bay.
I don't know. Something seemed off about the demo to me. I mean, certainly graphically, it didn't impress. But it seemed like the perspective was weird. Like the aspect ratio was off somehow. Like, I don't know. It didn't inspire any next-gen comparisons to me. Like, I don't know. It seems like an old game. And I know it's partially like a remake of Butcher Bay, right?
It's half of it's a remake of Butcher Bay, and then half of it is it Dark Athena, which is the new game.
So which was the demo? Which was the part that I played in the demo, do you know?
You were playing the whatchamacallit, the Escape from Butcher Bay, I believe.
I don't remember. It was a long time ago. I finished Butcher Bay, and I really liked it. I don't know. I mean, what did you think? Am I crazy? Because I think a lot of people really liked the demo.
I mean, yeah, it was. You know what? It didn't look as good as I thought it should.
Right, because if you remember, Butcher Bay was one of the best-looking Xbox games out there.
Yeah, I mean, it was. And at the time, it was like, oh, my God, look at these graphics. These graphics are ridiculous. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And now you look at, you know, the new one, it's like, this is the same game but in high definition.
Right. I mean, this did not impress graphically at all.
Gun had better graphics.
Well, I wouldn't. No,
I know,
no.
But I was trying to be mean, and that's
right. Call of Juarez might have had better graphics.
I'll call your Juarez.
Please, hello.
Is Juarez there?
See, look for my new sequel coming soon.
Call of Juarez 2.
I like that game. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't really like Riddick that much. I also, another game that I knew I wasn't going to like, but I was hoping that I would, because I saw it at E3 and I could tell that it was not going to be my cup of tea, was the Legends of WrestleMania. Now, I used to be a big WWF fan back in the day, like probably everybody our age, you know, in the era of Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant and Roddy Piper and, you know, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. Remember him?
I do remember Paul Orndorff.
And
Junkyard Dog.
Superfly Snuka.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Ultimate Warrior.
1, 2, and 3.
There was an Ultimate Warrior 2 and 3?
There was a second one for sure.
Really?
Yeah, they replaced
it. Anyway, it looks like they had some cool ideas with this game to really like bring out the nostalgia factor beyond just having all these, you know, old-time wrestlers. By old-time, I mean like mid-80s, I guess.
That is old-time.
You can recreate a lot of the old WrestleManias, and by recreating specific events, you get points and stuff. It's like some cool shit, and they have old video from, you know, actual video from those events. But the most important thing in a wrestling game, of course, is the gameplay. And I just didn't like the gameplay. They go with these huge character models, right, that take up, like, almost the whole screen. And the game just runs, like, the whole game is just very slow. And I would much, do you remember the game WrestleFest?
It
was an arcade. Yeah, it was an arcade game. It's a four-player game. It had like Royal Rumble mode and tag team mode, and it had like Earthquake and Hulk Hogan, Sergeant Slaughter. I would rather just them take a game like that and a little bit more, you know, in terms of like the, you know, how the game works on the screen. You know, make it prettier and make it, you know, 3D, and you know, just keep it simple, but keep the guys small and keep the speed there. So like when you can run around the ring and. I don't know. I was very disappointed with the Legends of Wrestling demo. I would have liked them and I only, you know, played TNA Impact at E3, and I know it didn't get great reviews, but I liked the way that game looked and seemed to control, at least at my brief playthrough. I wish they just took that type of engine, cleaned it up a little bit, and threw the classic wrestlers on there. That would have been sweet.
I'm sorry. I didn't get a chance to play that demo or the next one you're going to talk about.
The next one is Wheelmen. So we got two Vin Diesel.
I thought it
games.
Was the Wheelman.
The Wheelman. I don't know what the hell it's called. Yeah,
it's
the
not
Wheelman.
Wheelman. It's not Wheelman. It's not Saul Wheelman, who plays shuffleball with Saul Watchman.
Right.
Going to play shuffleball with the Wheelman.
Now he's black?
Yes, now he is.
Now he's 80-year-old
black
guy.
Yeah, it didn't come out well at all. I don't know what that was.
Right. Well, anyway, the Wheel Man.
As if
I
need to make myself sound more Jewy.
Right, that's what you need. I can say this about the Wheelman, that this ain't going to be saving Midway.
Poor Wheelman.
Poor Midway.
Sounds like someone who gets picked on in school.
It's basically, I don't know, it has elements of Burnout and Grand Theft Auto, I guess, but I'd rather play Burnout or Grand Theft Auto.
Have you put any more thought, speaking of you buying individual stocks and trying to bid for the Joust license?
No, I haven't thought about that at all.
I think you need to. I have so many grand ideas for what could be done with that.
Well, why don't you find out the details on it and get back to me?
And okay? I will get back to you. I'll say, hi, I'm calling on behalf of an investor that's interested in one of your properties.
Yes. Please record that when you do it. Please record that call. So the Wheelman, I don't know. The demo actually had its moments of fun. Like one of the cool things is you're driving the car around and when you use the right stick to basically sideswipe other cars and you know smash them into the wall and stuff. And that was kind of a cool feature and pretty unique. But I just don't see you building a whole game around that. It was fun for the demo, but I think all you really need to do is play 15 minutes of that and you get the idea and you've had. You know, you've gotten everything you could out of that game. Also played the Wanted demo.
I played that also.
I didn't see the... Did you see the movie?
I did not.
No, me neither. The movie was supposed to be pretty bad, I think. And the game didn't impress me much either.
It's based on a comic book.
What did you think of the demo? Am I wrong? I thought it was pretty bad.
It's, you know, it's not that it's bad. I wouldn't say it was bad. It's just very standard.
Right. There's so many games that, like... stand out.
Wait, so I gotta go down this hallway and shoot the bad guys and occasionally I hide behind a crate.
Right.
And then the bad guy pokes out his head, I poke around the crate and shoot the bad guy.
Right. And occasionally slow motion.
And you can curve your bullet. Which,
see, that I didn't even do.
You can curve your bullet.
I forgot to take the tutorial.
No, it's not all that exciting.
All right, yeah, I mean, that's enough. Let's talk about Sony while I'm at.
Wait, I have one more thing to talk about.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am sorry.
I was sent sort of, I guess, when you're sent a code for a game, that's still being sent a game, right?
Sure.
For a community game called Percuss 1. It's a puzzle game.
Wait, what's it called?
Percuss 1. Percussion, I guess, is how you're
supposed to P-U-R?
P-E-R.
P-E-R.
P-E-R-R-C-U-S-S-O-N-E.
Oh.
Percuss 1.
Okay, yeah, that's it.
Yes. And I played that last night, because I got the code last night. And actually, as for, you know, for a community game, and for, mm-hmm. if you're a fan of the Match 3 Puzzler, I mean, it's not expensive, it's only $5. For, you know, it's a very good game, actually. I kind of enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. It was very much an, okay, I'll download this and I'll play it, and something tells me I'm not going to like it. And I wound up playing it for like an hour, which surprised me too. It's a fun, you know, Match 3 puzzle game with a couple of cool innovations. You know, you could, you know, instead of it just being, oh, I'm stuck with three greens and I don't know where to put them, it's, oh, I can flip the pieces around. So you never know, maybe that red piece you need is underneath that green one. There's stacking involved. And the moving mechanic is a little different than what you may be used to also as far as moving pieces around. So gotcha. It actually has a lot going for it. It's not just a Bejeweled clone. Mm-hmm. And I was impressed. So I say, you know, at least check out the demo. And there's nothing wrong with a nice, inexpensive Match 3 puzzle game on your Xbox 360.
And it has, does it have online play or no?
I am not sure. How's that for
multiplayer?
Answer?
It has multiplayer. I just don't know if it's online or not.
It might be, actually.
Okay. Yes.
But it was good.
All right, let's move on to Sony Wombat.
Yes.
Let's start off with a comment from Waza Plinola. Says, hey, Cheapy, I love the show, but I've been listening to some earlier shows, and it seems like you don't always give games a fair chance without playing them. Tell me I'm crazy, but are you actually playing your PS3 more than your 360 now? I think this could be the start of a trend. Peace out. Well, actually, I guess I have been lately, because I've been playing Killzone 2, and from there, I was playing Flower and Eden. Recently I have been playing my PS3 more than my 360.
I've been playing the crap out of the PS3. I've been playing the crap out of Killzone 2.
I want to say something about Killzone 2.
Tell me something about Killzone 2.
And it's people are going to yell at me, but I don't care.
People are going to yell at anyway. People are going to yell at me about me making fun of Braid, and that game is 8 months old. So you go ahead and you say what you want about Killzone 2.
And I've said this before about PS3 games, and I'm going to say it again about Killzone 2. And I don't think there's any way that you can say that I'm wrong. But if anything, the best part of Killzone 2, I think, is the online play. Right? Would you agree with that?
I thoroughly enjoy the online play, yes.
Okay. I think a lot of people would agree that the online, I mean, I can see you disagreeing with this part of my statement, but I think that the online play of Killzone 2 is its strongest point.
That is the strength of the game, yes.
Yes. The problem is, and what would make this game better, is that if it was on Xbox Live. Because there's a lot of shortcomings in terms of getting your friends into a game with you.
That is partially true, yes.
One of them being, you can't invite your friends.
That is a big downside. I guess the good workaround, and we had this conversation off the air, is I like that you can set up a room that's password protected. And I wish I wish Xbox Live had that.
Yeah, I guess they don't, right? There's no games that have password-protected lobbies, right?
No, and I wish. I mean, that would be awesome, because then for, you know, the CAG night, it was so easy to set up a room. I just needed to call it, you know, CAGcast, and put the password in the forum, and that was it. And then my work was done. To get people into the Halo 3 room was a pain in the ass.
Right. The problem was, though, is that the room got filled and nobody could send me an invite when it opened up. I guess you could have just sent me a message.
I could have sent you a message and you could have found the room. I did IM you and say it was open when it was open.
Right, I guess. But I don't know. It just, when I play the game, I just wish it was on Xbox Live. And, you know, every time you go into the multiplayer mode, you have to sign in. And it's like, you know, you got to wait. I mean, I'm nitpicking. Okay, fine. I'm nitpicking here. That's just my thought. I still like it a lot. I think it's awesome. Okay, I think Killzone 2 is awesome. I want to go play it. Wish I could play it today, but I'm too busy.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun game. I played on Sunday. I had the house to myself. So I played from, I think, 11 a.m. to like 6 p.m.
Holy moly.
Yeah, and I played a lot of multiplayer. I wanted to get my guy to the point where I could actually, you know, have more than one weapon to choose from.
Right.
That was my goal of the day, and I met my goal, and I was very happy about that. I was in this one room, and this guy, I guess he just didn't understand the point of the game, but all he would do was kill his teammates.
Was that you?
No, it wasn't. Yes, it was me. Like, you would be running, and he would just stand there and stare at you, and you'd look at the guy, thinking, oh, he's on my team. He's not going to shoot me. And then he would just open on you. And I'm screaming.
I think he understood it just fine. I think he was just, you know, he's what's known as a griefer, Wombat.
Yeah, I don't understand that. What's the point of that?
He's 12.
Is that what it is? He's like, oh, look, these people are so mad at me now, and they can't do anything about it. Is that?
It could be.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. It made me very angry.
I understand why that. Many things make you angry.
What do you mean? I'm a very mellow guy.
All right, let's read this comment from one of our listeners, Super Cholo. Because last week we talked about the rumors of a new PSP. Super Cholo says this. A new PSP just doesn't seem like the smarter move from Sony. Really, what's the point? Dragging sales, less than spectacular games, movies were just for the most part pointless, a new PSP will only honestly serve to drag Sony down further. It's in the same category as the DSi, to be honest. What's the old saying? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. The DS was fine. I have the DS Lite, and I don't see any reason to move to another. For two crappy cameras and a download service? Sounds like a great idea and one that will bring Nintendo more revenue. But at what cost? The PSP comes with some more additions, but once again, at what cost? Higher price point? So maybe you will be happy with a few additional features, but where is it going to revolutionize the handheld market and blow the original PSP out of the market? With a crappy sales and marketing team already in place, look for future sagging sales in the long run, and to make up for it, higher prices on everything else. Well, we don't really know what the details are on a new PSP, and you know, maybe Sony will have learned some lessons from the iPhone, from the DS. Maybe we'll start to see more simpler type games rather than just basically complex PS2 games ported to PSP.
But that's the mistake, though. I think people want complex games that you would see on the PS2 in a handheld type format. They just need a handheld console that they could play those games on properly.
See, I get the idea that people want, like, sort of a simpler type game that they can just load up in, like, a few seconds.
Well, that's just it. There is no alternative to that, really. Because you can't load up a PSP game in 2 seconds, and you can't really play it properly because there's only one analog stick. If they were able to find a way to make the games load faster, so I guess they would probably have to run off of a card or a memory stick or whatever they could think of, a flash card. Drive something right, that would allow load times to be faster and right, have the second analog stick. I think yes. I think there are people who would rather play Resistance, you know, a Resistance game on the train in the morning than play, you know, Puzzle Quest 12.
Right. No. Yeah. You could be right. It's. I think we should give Sony the benefit of the doubt now and see what they come up with. I mean, maybe they have something great planned for a new PSP. PSP. You know. The PSP had a lot of great ideas and a lot of great features, but none of them were, like, implemented to perfection. Like, how the iPod, you know, does a great job with music. You know, they really revolutionized how an MP3 player works because, It's just so simple to listen to all, to get through all your music and navigate all your music.
Well, I'd say the genius of the iPod was iTunes. It was the easy. Right.
Well, that's another thing. And if Sony can come out with an iTunes for, you know, I know that there's a website right now where you can buy, you know, where you can download games from for the PSP, but you can be sure to tell it's no iTunes.
And, you know, the charging for the management software in this country was awful. Awful idea. Right. I mean, way to shoot yourself in the foot. Here's the software that's free in Japan. You can go to the Japan site and download it free. But in the States, we're going to charge you $30 for the software to manage content we want you to buy.
Right. And that's, I think, by the same, you know, the same reasoning, limiting the media format to a memory stick is another complaint. And another bad decision, and something I talked about with the Xbox 360, where you have to buy their proprietary hard drives so you can pay to download content. You know, to store, you're paying for content and downloading it, and you have to buy the storage medium from Microsoft rather than giving you a lot of options on what kind of hard drive you can connect to your system like Sony does with the PS3. I think you'd want to make it as easy and cheap as possible for storage, so people will buy more stuff from your store.
I mean, do you think the way to go would be to have it set up so, you know, let's say I'm designing the PSP2, so I'm going to make it dual analog and get rid of the, you know, the UMD format, and it's going to run on an SD card. And what you do is you put a blank SD card in the PSP, then you hook the PSP up to your computer with a USB wire, same way you would do with your iPod, and instantly opens, you know, the Sony, the PSP network store. And all games will exist on there, and you just download them directly to your SD card, and that's it.
That's a good way to go, I think. And you can download movies that way. I mean, I don't know how you work the the copyright protection on that.
I was going to say, then you're going into the whole piracy angle as well.
Yeah, but everything will be pirated, no matter what. You know?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, what I'm saying would work very well, but I don't think the world is perfect enough for that. I think they would lose too much money in piracy, and I don't think that they're going to make that machine. So,
well, people are doing plenty of pirating on the current PSP with the UMD.
They sure are.
So I don't know, dude. I don't know what the answer is. I think, you know, iTunes makes it easy. Look, I could go on the internet and download music for free, but iTunes makes it so easy. Like, if I'm looking for a single song, it's going to cost me 99 cents, and all I have to do is click one button, and I'm going to have it in 10 seconds. Sure, I could get that thing for free, but it's just easier, more convenient to get it through iTunes. So I'll pay.
I also like to support musical artists.
Well, there's that as well, of course.
Not that I buy that. I buy, what, one album a year, I think, at this rate, but still.
Yeah, I don't buy much. Anything else for Sony, Wombat?
Nope, just playing Killzone 2.
Okay, let's move on to Nintendo.
I am familiar with Nintendo. So my friend comes over to the house on Saturday, and we're hanging out, and we ordered a big old rack of baby back ribs and some chicken with some cream spinach and some onion rings, and good time. And then I go, and I got House of the Dead Overkill, and we're going to play this game because Shipwreck told me I had to.
Right.
And we played the whole damn game that night.
Wow.
And
it's a two-player game.
Yeah, two-player co-op. It's an on-rail shooter.
Yep.
Now, do you know anything about Hot Do?
I don't know what Hot Do is, but I know Shipwreck wrote up the plot of the game for me, including the ending, and it's the most perverted thing I've ever heard of in a video game.
It is incredibly, yes, perverted is a good way to describe it. The look of the game, for if you're not aware, it looks like a 1970s grindhouse film.
Uh-huh.
Where the whole game runs like that, where it has that kind of, it like almost runs through a filter where it looks like film, and it's
a
shaky
green,
and
film
grainy.
Grain filter.
It has like really funny voiceovers and really, really hysterical voice acting. The game is very tongue-in-cheek. Mm-hmm. There's more F-bombs dropped in this game than probably any game I've ever played in my entire life. And it's really a lot of fun. And I recommend it as a rental, as the game is only about two and a half hours long. Mm-hmm. And I also say that you cannot play it by yourself. You have to play it with someone else.
Just so you're going to laugh.
You're going to laugh and you're going to... Did that guy just say, is that what I think it is? Wait, that can't be... Ew! And that'll be you playing the game. And you need someone there to react with you. Otherwise, it's not remotely as much fun.
I understand that. Now, do you have the zapper or are you just...
Nah, I just use the two regular standard Wiimotes.
But, do you use the, you don't need the nunchuck at all for
no,
this,
it's just, it's a one-handed, one-button game.
Fair, I see.
You point, you pull the B trigger, point and pull the B trigger, and, I mean, you only really have to beat one level to unlock one of the best gun in the game, and once you have that, you're pretty much set. It's pretty easy, but it doesn't mean that it's not any fun, and it doesn't mean it's not worth playing just because it's up for the... For the sheer shock value of, I can't believe they made this game.
Right, and that is on the Wii.
There are a couple of, I mean, I guess the drawback would be at some point, sometimes the game does get a little choppy and a little wonky. Uh-huh. And I did encounter a glitch that caused me to restart my Wii. That's what the internet told me to do. And then the game started to work again. But I mean, all in all, it's a lot of fun. It's not a $50 game. I mean, once you beat the game, you do unlock the harder mode. But even at 2.5 hours to beat the story once, and I guess 5 hours to beat it twice, it still doesn't feel like a $50 game. But the other thing I would say in its defense, if the story mode was any longer, you'd probably get very bored of the on-rail shooter.
Right.
So the length is just right, but it doesn't mean that it's a $50 game. It's probably a $20 game or a rental.
Right. Yeah, it just seems weird that would be a $50 game.
Oh.
Because didn't they have, House of the Dead, that was like a compilation of an older
game.
Yeah,
1 and 2, or 2 and 3.
2 and 3, yeah, and that was 30, I believe.
Yeah. But but you have, if you own a Wii, and you have a friend, you always... You never know.
You mean there are people who own a Wii and have a friend?
Yeah, I know. I'm asking a lot of people. You owe it to yourself to at least play the game. It's required playing for any Wii owner.
I see. All right. Fair enough, Wombat. What's this? Something else you wanted to bring up?
Oh, it's just some more Michael Pachterisms.
Yeah,
he compared the Wii to McDonald's, which is actually a pretty accurate statement. He goes, but it was just some of the things. The way he says it is kind of funny. The Wii audience isn't sophisticated enough to know whether the game they're buying compares favorably to, say, Gears of War or Little Big Planet, because they probably don't own an Xbox 360 or a PS3. They buy the Wii games that they buy for the same reason that people go to McDonald's. Basically, what he's saying is that, you know, the Wii owner doesn't know about other systems and probably doesn't care about other systems. They buy what they're comfortable with, which is why people go to McDonald's, because you can go to a McDonald's in New York and you can go to a McDonald's in Alabama and your Big Mac's going to taste like a Big Mac.
Right. You know exactly what you're getting. You know the brand. So people know the Nintendo brand. They know Nintendo... makes video games.
I don't know if it's the Nintendo brand at this point. I think it's the Wii brand.
You think so? I don't know. I think if Microsoft made, you know, I think the Nintendo brand helped a lot for the Wii's success.
Yes, but I think it's become the Wii brand. Like the Wii Play, the Wii Sports, the Wii Fit, the Wii Music.
Maybe. I think people know that if you ask people who makes the Wii, they're gonna know Nintendo. Like if you ask soccer moms.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that if the Nintendo released a game called Nintendo Sports and released a game called Wii Sports, the Wii Sports is going to sell better than Nintendo Sports.
All right, now we're getting crazy. But
I am getting crazy. This is crazy talk.
This is crazy talk.
What am I thinking?
Well,
about?
I don't think he's wrong. I don't think Pachter's wrong about that. I mean, he's talking about people that don't read video game sites or listen to video game podcasts. He's talking about, you know, Sally Soccer Mom.
I hate Sally Soccer Mom.
Yep. She sucks.
I know. You know, she used to go out with Saul Wheelman back in high school.
All right, Wombat, let's do a little bit of Kags on News. I think this first story, you should take this first story because I didn't have a chance to look at it.
Oh, I forgot you updated the the outline. I don't have the story that I think you think I have. So we're talking about, what is it, Worlds.com?
That's right.
Yes. So the founder of Worlds.com is suing Activision and NCSoft, or at least he says he's going to be suing them, because he holds the patent for the MMO.
Right. Okay, so they're suing NCSoft now, and they said they're going to go after Blizzard and Linden Labs, the creators of Second Life. I don't know how you can patent
a concept
like that.
Because he has a patent on the concept, not necessarily the technology.
Right.
So there's a chance that it could all get thrown out of court, and there's actually a chance, I don't know the facts in the case, but it could very well turn out to be in their favor if the patent that he has holds true, where, you know, he owns the right to any persistent online world, regardless of technology.
Right.
I mean, you know, who knows? Crazier things have happened. I had friends that were into Worlds.com back in the day.
I don't even know what that is.
It was popular for like 5 minutes, and I think in like the 1999, 2000. And I had friends that were into it, and they said, hey, you should check me out on Worlds.com. It's awesome. And they have Aerosmith streaming for free. That was like the big hook.
Right, that's some hook.
Yeah, it had like this virtual Aerosmith concert that was going on all the time. And I had one of my college friends was like, you gotta check it out. So I went on and I made an avatar, and I think I went on it once and was like, wow, this is really slowing down my computer.
All right, well, Matt, the next item we have is the April cover of Game Informer has a picture of BioShock 2 and Big Sister. So that's the big innovation, Wombat, for BioShock 2. It's Big Sister, not Big Brother.
It's boobs.
Wait, was it Big Brother was the guy? What was the big metal guy called?
It was, Big Daddy?
Big Daddy. Big Daddy, that's it.
Yeah.
So now it's Big Sister. Why don't they call it Big Mama? Big Mama's too silly sounding?
Maybe. And it's not, she's not really big. I mean, she's actually kind of svelte.
Yeah. She's got a big eye, though. Yeah. I was talking to pretentious Nick Suttner.
Oh, yeah. I know that guy.
We were talking about this. Yeah, what a snob, right?
Yeah. He's a
He actually had a good idea. Like I think we were sort of making fun of Big Sister. And he said, you know, I wish that BioShock 2 would show you, like, what the fall of Rapture was like. Like, while you're playing the game, you can see, like, what led to Rapture's downfall. I think that was a really good idea.
Maybe it will.
It's a lot more interesting than Big Sister.
Well, that's all we
How
know
about
so far is
Little
Big
Brother.
Sister. The Big Sister should carry around Little Brothers?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Little Brother would be black. So it'd be a real Little Brother.
We could get Gary Coleman to do the voice.
Where you going, Big Sister? Get your
terrible.
Ass back here.
It's terrible.
What you talking about, Big Sister?
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, I am.
I know.
All right, Wombat, this is this I thought was pretty nuts. So in the UK, the government has started a campaign called Change for Life. And basically they're linking playing video games with things that will end your life early, like heart disease and cancer and shit like that. And so they ran this big ad in a newspaper. And the ad is a picture of a kid sitting on a couch holding it looks like a PlayStation 2 controller. Maybe it's a third party PlayStation 2 controller.
I think it's technically a third party one, but yes, it is a PlayStation 2 controller.
And it basically says in huge letters, risk an early death, just do nothing. You know, and it shows the kid sitting on the couch playing a video game. And then they go on to say how, you know, if you don't do anything, you're going to get cancer or diabetes or heart disease. So Sony's thinking about suing them because they didn't get their permission to, you know, to license the controller for the ad. But you're right, it does look like a third party controller, right?
Yeah, it probably is. Only for one reason. Only it was probably cheaper to pick one up. Like when they were doing the photo shoot, like they need a video game controller, and they probably went to the local video game store, bought the cheapest one, whatever was used for $2.
Right. The amazing thing is, like, I don't know, it's really unfair to the gaming industry. And if I'm in the video game industry, you know, I'm furious. The government is posting ads telling people that your product is dangerous. Basically saying it's, you know, it's like cigarettes. It's like the government, you know. It's crazy. I mean, it's like the equivalent of putting a warning label on the box of a game saying this product is hazardous to your health. And the fact that the government is, you know, you think about all the problems that are going on in the world. And the UK is having a financial meltdown, you know, just like maybe even worse than the US. And this is what the government is spending their time on, of course, the epidemic of video games, of kids playing video games. And why you need to, I can understand you wanting to get the word out saying that, you know, kids should be active and, you know, shouldn't be sitting on their ass all the day. But why does the kid need to be having a video game controller on the while he's sitting on the couch? Why can't he just be sitting on a couch, you know, staring at a wall? Well, and what about reading a book? You're reading a book, you're just sitting there doing nothing.
I think it's the message I don't think is conveyed properly. I think it's, okay, I understand that you don't want us to be playing video games all day, and I don't disagree. But, right. You know, it's more of a, you know, you're showing just the kid in the video game, playing the video game, saying that doing this is going to kill you, when you should just be saying, hey, there's nothing wrong with playing your video game for an hour, but you need to get off your ass also.
Right. Exactly. Of course. It's really unfair, and if I'm in the gaming industry, I would, you know, screw the legal action about the controller. I mean, you know, there's got to be some, I'm no lawyer, but there's got to be something else they can sue these guys over, sue the government over. I mean, just ridiculous. Really upset. It upsets me just like when, you know, you hear about American politicians doing stupid shit like this one. In Pennsylvania, the state representatives there are putting together a law where they're considering putting together a law about taxing violent video games, a 5% tax on violent video games, and taking those funds and spending them on a parental education program, or perhaps withholding tax incentives from companies that make violent video games. That's just, I mean, if they're going to do that, they should just triple the tax on cigarettes right now.
They probably really would do that.
That's just ridiculous. What about the tax on violent movies? Or the tax on the evening news, which has got plenty of violence on it. And it's hardly even news anymore than news. It's just, you know, it's just a different style of entertainment that they can wrap commercials around. I mean,
it's just an hour of the Octomom, which is why I don't watch the news anymore.
Right. It's silly. It's really silly. It's a waste of politicians' time, and the fact that they're wasting time on this when there's so much shit going on in America right now. It's ridiculous. Don't reelect these people. They're wasting time.
Want to move on to our new section? Maybe that'll calm you down a little bit.
You mean our keg bag section?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's a new section within the keg bag.
Oh, our new section.
Our
I see.
New section.
I,
yeah.
I thought you said news section. Okay, so Wombat came up with an idea for a new section. It's really just a new section for the keg bag, I think.
Yeah, it's an extension of the keg bag, for sure.
All right, take it away.
It's called It Came From Twitter.
Why do you need the British accent?
Everything is better with a British accent.
All right.
And that's enough of that.
All right, go ahead, Wanda.
Let's go with this one from Desert Eagle 19. He asks me, and I guess you too, about our E3 expectations and would like some malt liquor reviews.
Well, I haven't had any malt liquor in a long time. I'm trying to think. I used to drink it in college, actually. I've had a few of them. I'm trying to remember the name. Is there something called Magnum?
There might be.
I'm Googling it right now. Yes, there is. Yeah. Magnum malt liquor.
Yes. When I was in college, the malt liquor of choice was Laser.
See, I don't know that
malt
one.
Liquor. It was the cheapest. I believe it was about $1.50 for 40 ounces.
That is pretty cheap.
It was so gross. Like, it tasted like a combination paint thinner, nail polish remover, wallpaper paste. Like, if you can mix all that in a bottle and sell it to underage kids, that would that would be laser malt liquor.
Well, so. I just Googled, I Googled Magnum malt liquor, and I found this website called beerpal.com, and you can, they review all the different beers, so, and they give you the alcohol percentage. So Magnum malt liquor, this is it. They had the picture, and I remember it. It's 5.9% alcohol, which is, you know, regular beer in Japan is 5.5%. So it's not really much stronger than regular beer. One of the reviews says, this is quite nasty stuff that will leave you with a pounding head after slamming 40 ounces. No need to elaborate on the color, head, etc. You know what you're getting into if you bought the stuff.
Laser malt liquor is actually brewed by the Miller Brewing Company.
And so is Magnum.
And it is also 5.9% alcohol by volume.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Okay, so that's E3 expectations? Well, it looks like they're bringing back at least part of the E3 that we, the big E3 that we used to, I guess we used to like. I don't know, I really like the smaller one better for the most part. My expectations, frankly, are to just have fun, and I'm going to not make as many appointments as I did last year, because that really sort of ruined my trip, that I had no breathing time, just running from one appointment to the next, and you know what? I don't really need to see everything, and you know, depending on how they work the main show floor, maybe just walking around and I could do stuff. I don't know. I wanna hang out while I'm at. You know what? If you catch my meaning,
I do. And I spoke with. Actually, I didn't speak to. I was spoken to by the missus, she told me that if you know, knock on wood, employment is the way it is right now, and I don't go to E3 this year, she would be very disappointed with me.
She thinks you should go.
She wants me to go. She's imploring me to go.
Well, of course. That way her boyfriend can come over.
Exactly. You know, who's much taller and thinner than I am.
Right.
But, yes.
So, all right. So what does that mean?
It means that I really won't know anything until April. But if things stay status quo by mid-April, then we need to get me in. Because I'll go.
Well, you should apply anyway.
I'll apply anyway. And if, and it, you know, by all intents and purposes, I should be there with you. And if we do go, I don't know how we do this, but somehow we have to do a CADcast in front of people.
We could do it in a hotel room.
We need an audience. I want to do like a, I want to do the deal, the whole shebang, maybe like a bar or something. I don't know.
All right. Anyway, we'll think about that.
We will think about that. But that's that for now. So that's my, what are my E3 expectations? Me being there.
Right. Okay. Good.
Yes.
What else?
This is from MC Lazy J, who also writes for Aeropause. How about whether backwards compatibility matters? So do you think backwards compatibility matters anymore?
I think it does for some people. I don't know. I'm trying to think if this, if he's asking about this current generation or if the next generation of systems are backwards compatible.
Well, how about both? Was backwards compatibility, did it really turn out to be a necessary factor for this generation?
For me, I can only tell you what it is for me. For me, like, I didn't really care. I mean, I didn't buy an Xbox 360 to play Xbox games. When you go back and play those games, a lot of them, you know, they look dated because they are dated. Certainly, there are games that are timeless, and the PS2 certainly had a much larger library and more games that I would want to play on the PS3. Unfortunately, I bought a Japanese PS3 that's region locked, so I can't play my American PS2 games on it. It does seem like it affects, you know, serious gamers' purchasing decisions, though. From reading threads on CAG, absolutely, it seems important to some people. In the grand scheme of things, when talking about, you know, the business side of it, I don't think it has much of an impact, you know, overall. But I think, you know, in the gaming community, people, it does affect some people.
That sounds like
chances are, if you're taking part in a gaming community, you're gonna buy pretty much everything.
Yeah, at this point, I don't think that. I think the game industry so far has done a very good job of making us not want to care about backwards compatibility. Because I don't think it'll appear in the next generation of consoles. So, that's that.
We'll see. Okay.
Want to move into the regular CAG bag now?
The real CAG bag. Okay, so we've got Captain Freeze. I guess this is in response to your Jewbeard that you posted pictures of last week. Captain Freeze wants to know, Chibi, can you even grow hair on your face? See, let me explain something to you, Captain Freeze, about the Jewish people. Even the most bald of bald Jewish people have enormous amounts of hair everywhere else on their body.
Yeah, I can grow a full beard in about 15 minutes.
I just have on your back.
On my back. I just need to will the hair to come out.
Yes, I have. In fact, I have a lot of hair on my face right now. I wish I didn't grow hair on my... I wish my face was bald and my head had hair. Because who wants to shave? It's annoying.
I grew a full beard once in college just because, you know, why not?
Right.
I think everyone has to grow the full, you know, Dan Haggerty beard at some point in their life. The big Merlin Olsen, Grizzly Adams beard. And I did. Yes. And I was at one of our... out of the parties at our house, and one of the girls was complaining to one of my fraternity brothers about the creepy 40-year-old at the party. And she was talking about me. The next day, I shaved the beard.
Yes. One thing you should know about all Jewish males is that we have enormous amounts of unwanted body hair. And we like weed. Those are the two things you need to know.
Is that an actual fact?
Yes. Yes. You can look that up on Wikipedia.
Is that on Wikipedia? Okay. Well,
I'm sure it's there.
That's Semitic individuals.
Okay. Tom's Cab says, hey, Cheapy, I was listening to an old CADcast, as I usually do when I have nothing else to listen to, and I heard someone said that it's rude that you only listen to podcasts when you're mentioned in them. And you responded, as always, as saying you'd rather listen to Howard Stern. I was wondering if you ever tried listening to podcasts while you game. It's a good way to get information and gives you something to do while playing more monotonous games. I would personally recommend the Joystick and Giant Bomb ones, both of which are very funny. Here's the thing. I don't play monotonous games. If I'm going to play a game, those are the ones I avoid. And if I'm playing a game that I'm enjoying, which I am, because otherwise I wouldn't be playing it, because I don't review video games for a living, so I don't have to play anything I don't want to play. I can't focus on listening to a podcast or Howard Stern or even music. I have a hard time focusing on what I'm doing with that stuff in the background. I mean, maybe music is not a problem, but if it's somebody talking, there's no way that I can, you know, read an article on a website or write something, you know, for CAG, and while I'm listening to Howard Stern or a podcast. I don't know. That's just me. I can't multitask in that way.
I usually listen to other people's shows on the train in the morning, so I kind of agree with you. Because if someone starts, if I start a conversation with someone, like, you know, texting with someone or whatever on the train, I usually will miss about a good 10 minutes of the show and be like, wait, what are they talking about?
Yes, I can't even do that. That's right. Like, sometimes I'll be on my iPhone, I'll be listening to Stern, and I'll, you know, start reviewing my Twitter feed or whatever. And, yeah, I just totally missed whatever was happening in my ears. Let's skip this one. Swock says, hey, Cheapy and Wombat, two quick questions. Any update on if Michael Pachter or Major Nelson will be appearing on the CADcast again soon? I haven't asked either of them. I think Pachter would come on anytime. And
I'm sure he would.
The problem is, last time we had Major Nelson on, we had, like, big technical problems. Like, it's a hard time. We had a very difficult time hearing each other. So I don't know. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I would talk about with Major Nelson. I mean, I like him and all, but like, what would we talk about?
I don't know.
Talk about Minor Nelson.
Yeah.
And Pachter's always a good guest, and he's a nice guy. He's so nice to me when I see him in public, like at E3. I mean, you'll see him too often, but at E3, like, I don't know. He's always got such nice things to say to me. He invited me to his party that his company threw, and, you know, goes out of his way to talk to me. I mean, it's just, what a nice guy. Like, what a nice guy who makes $800,000 a year.
Ugh.
We don't know if that's exactly what he makes.
We just assume.
we assumed from that. Was that EGM article?
It was an EGM article, yes. He probably makes more than that based on that EGM article.
Maybe not in this economy now.
I mean, yeah, who knows? Who knows? He just did a whole conference today, you know?
All right, so Swox also wants to know what the status is of the Ron Workman podcast. Is this shit going down or no? I don't know. Should email Ron Workman. RonWorkman@gmail.com? Is that his email address?
I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
It's probably is.
I don't have many correspondences with Ron Workman.
Okay. Hoo-ha says, with Super Programmer John being mentioned on multiple shows and his work clearly changing the site for the better, is there any possibility of a CADcast interview with him? I know his work isn't done yet, and there's probably still a lot of stuff taking up his time, but I'm sure most listeners would like to hear from him about the work he's done for the site. I think that he would probably like to do a UK CAG podcast.
We could do that too. Hello, welcome to the Cheap Balls Game of Podcast. I'm your host, Wombat.
No, and John, you're John. You have to be John.
I'm Super Programmer John. I'm talking to you from jolly old England. Today we're going to talk about the Queen and video games.
You just slipped into Bill Cosby there.
And the Jello Pudding Pop. Hello. I just like to say hello.
Yes. Okay. So I don't know. I think my guess is that when he's finished up more stuff, that he will want to do his own podcast. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I would have to help him with it in some way, like the production part of it. I don't know, but I know that there's some other UK video game deal site that's doing their own podcast, and he doesn't like. I get the feeling from John, and obviously I don't know him very well, but I get the feeling that he's the type of guy that doesn't like anybody to be doing something better than what he's doing, which is, you know, probably a decent trait to have a situation like this. So I think he's probably going to want to beat these guys. Not just on the website side, but on the podcast side.
He also does need to refer to himself as Super Programmer John on the show. Like
SPJ?
It would have to be the Super Programmer John, and if he has a co-host, whatever, you know, his name would
be. Okay, D Zambon says, hey, Chibi, what games did you find the most fun to play baked out of your mind? All of them. Duh.
Ba-dum-bump.
That's the easy question. No, I mean, I don't know. Well, I liked playing Halo. For some reason. It's just fun. They're all fun. Especially online games, I found were more fun for me somehow.
Is there one good question left?
So I wouldn't be lonely. What's that?
Let's do one good question.
Why don't you pick it?
I'm looking for one. Here's one. Boy. Crazy Talk X wants to know, I was just wondering about your opinion regarding the fact that the highest number of users on CAG simultaneously was way back in December 2006. What was the occasion, and shouldn't that number have been passed up by now? It's funny, because I look at that also, and I wonder why
it was just a technical glitch somehow. I don't think that number was probably accurate, because I find it hard to believe that the server setup we were on back then could handle that many users. So I don't know. I'm guessing that was just like a server fart somehow.
Is there a way to reset it? Why don't you just reset it to zero?
I could. And then, who cares? It don't matter.
Because I care. How about that?
You care?
Because I care. And if you don't care about me, you'll do it.
I could look it up. What was the date on that?
The date was, I have no idea.
Oh. Doesn't it say the date?
Yeah. Well, do you think I'm on Cheap Ass Gamer now?
Dude, you should be. Okay, it was December 30th, 2006. So I could just type that into my Super Wagon. 29. I'll do a 2906. And we'll take a look. Whoop. I don't know. My guess is that it's not going to show, like, yeah, it's nothing. There's nothing there. I don't know. It's a fart. Server fart.
See, which actually I did that earlier in the show. I wonder if anyone will hear it. I wish I was kidding.
Yeah.
And
I'm looking at it right now. Oh no, wait. December. Oh, I did December 29th. Wait, I screwed that up. Oh no, I said December 30th.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing.
So reset the
There's nothing going on.
No one will think less of you.
John will do it.
He will, because he's...
John, take care of that.
Hello, I'm Super Programmer John.
And you're going to take care of that?
Sweep your chimney.
Right. Shine your shoes, Governor. Steak and kidney pie.
Would you like a little
That's enough on that. We're being very annoying.
I am. People are probably very mad at us by now.
Right. All right, let's do a little bit of housekeeping. I want to remind everybody that there's a lot... there's a lot of ways to connect with us, Wombat, and one of those ways is to use Twitter. We all have our own accounts on Twitter. You just go to twitter.com/GPD, twitter.com/Wombat5277.
Get the phone.
Or twitter.com/Shipwreck. Shipwreck. What did I say?
You said Shipwreck. Your phone's ringing.
Yeah, it's my door. It's your my door. Downstairs, people.
Oh, you must have a package.
Special delivery.
Do you want me to wait while you go get it?
No, I don't care.
Okay, and ask a specific Twitter question, probably close to the show record, and if you respond to that, that is how you get to be featured on the It Came From Twitter section of the CannonCast. So keep your eyes open for that. I can tell Chief is very excited about that. Either that or he's watching something that he shouldn't be doing the show record.
Right. I also want to tell people that they can get deals through their Twitter. If you go to twitter.com/videogamedeals, if you're in the U.S., or if you're in the United Kingdom, twitter.com/UKGameDeals. And let me read one podcast review from iTunes.
Please do.
Because we want to remind people to review us on iTunes. Mason Graphics says, "This is the podcast to beat. 5 stars. Best podcast, period. The thing I love about this podcast is that it isn't strictly about gaming and the format is up in the air. The unscripted and unedited banter make the show completely easy to listen to. The CAG website is also a very useful tool when you're a video gamer. 2 thumbs way up to GBD and Wombat for a great show." Did I read the same one last week?
You probably did, but who cares?
It sounded familiar.
Yeah, I think you did. I think you'll probably read that one again next week, too. So, you know.
I might. I just might do that. Yeah, you can't stop me.
And I'll go from speaking like a bad British person and talking like Jello Pudding Pops.
All right. Well, let's say goodbye to everybody.
Terrible.
That was awful.
It was awful.
You should probably, it's too late because you've already listened to the whole show, but if you happen to just skip ahead to the end, don't bother even listening to the show.
No, don't, because it's when we kind of, we lose it by then. It's late for me. I'm usually asleep by now, 100%.
Okay. Well, I have to go clean up for the maid, our new non-crazy maid, or less crazy maid.
I bet you miss those cherry tomatoes. It's one of those things. now that they're gone.
No. We don't have the maid cook for us anymore. They just clean.
Shima tries to put some cherry tomatoes in a bowl to make you happy, and it's like, it's just not the same.
Right, because I really enjoy throwing out an entire bowl of cherry tomatoes every Thursday. Good times.
Yep.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week on the CatCast.
How long has it been since your mom's fixed jello pudding for you?
A long time ago.
How long?
A long, long time.
But she knows it's good for you, right?
Uh-huh.
And she knows that you love it, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe she forgot. Maybe I should remind her. Mom, you know how the kids love jello pudding. And you know it's made with fresh milk, so it's wholesome. And you haven't made jello pudding for them since...
Last night.
Last what? Kids love jello brand pudding. Remember...